My interest in mythology kind of stems from the fact that my first name is Ariadna. My middle name is Anna. Because my mother named us Ariadna, and you know, she had... I was always interested in mythology, always, because it was like I'd always look at that. What does it mean? And who was she? And what was she interested in? And it was, you know, the golden thread and Bacchus and all of that kind of thing. You know, she was the wife of Bacchus. And so I thought, you know, it's kind of like my secret name or something, you know.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm wondering, too, if the fact that you went through this experience of, although how much you remember of that, because you were born in displaced persons camps in Germany. Your heritage comes from Latvia, like mine does. So our families have traveled some very similar pathways. That fact of losing directly our connection to our heritage, did that infuse your work in any way? Is there a search in your art for that connection?
I believe so. I think that we come into the world intact.
Yeah.
And in my household, there was always a creative flow. My grandmother was her motto was, "Work like hell; it's bound to pay off." And not only did she work, but she also created, and she, well, her creations were crocheting.
So fabric art, yeah.
Yeah, and she was also a fabulous seamstress. They kept us in good clothing. We were such a large family, 5 girls, 2 boys. And,
oh, wow.
And we were always well-dressed wherever.
Yeah.
If we lived in, you know, the DP camps, you'd see photographs of us, and people would think, oh, those photographs, like, look at those clothes.
Well, you don't look like refugees.
Right. But they would take the items that Salvation Army sent, and they would take them all apart. They would iron them and use them as the cloth for the real stuff, for the little dresses. And
well, if there are any blessings, and I think there's blessings in everything, but if there are any blessings from going through that kind of experience of becoming a displaced person, you become very resourceful. And I always heard growing up that people would joke that you put a Latvian into an empty room and lock the door and let him out. After a while, he'll come out with 4 packed suitcases that were just that resourceful.
That's true.
But back to that folklore thing and your interest in mythology. Did your grandmother and mother and father tell you these stories, or talk about your growing up years a little more?
Well, you know, when we got here, we were we arrived later than most of the people. My parents, for a variety of reasons, health and whatnot, were actually in limbo for 13 years in the displaced persons camps.
That long, wow.
That had a large effect on the family.
I would think so.
And of course on all of us.
Yeah.
But when they came here, they had to work exceptionally hard to make a living. And so my grandmother took care of us, and my parents both worked and so on. But my mother was always an artist, always. And my father was a writer. And so they maintained those levels of life and energy. And I felt like that was my model.
Yeah.
That you basically tend to those inner... to those inner needs, the need for creating metaphor and understanding what the world is and understanding how the inner and the outer world coalesce and differ and what you make to create something beautiful. And so as I worked in my life, I always I always had a studio space, and I worked hard too. I raised a wonderful daughter. And it took a lot of work. And so the things that fed me as far as folklore and mythology, primarily my name, you know, that got me going early on. Like, I was always looking at, like, what is Ariadna? What does it mean, Mom? Oh, my gosh, Mom, how could you name this? Give me this name. Do you realize that she brought about the death of her half-brother? the Minotaur was her half brother. How could you name? And my mother is like, oh, Anna, it is the golden thread that I have named you. It's like, okay, Mom. So at the age of 13, you don't really.
Yeah.
You want the whole story, the raw story. So I was always interested in that, and we had stories that we. The Latvian stories somewhat, but because my parents were so consumed with survival, basically, and also tending their own needs as writer and artist, I think that I ended up gleaning Latvian mythical bits and pieces, mostly from a friend of mine, Lilia Puza, and you probably know her. She was a librarian here at Western, but she became a very close friend of mine, and she shared all of the traditions, shared lots of literature with me, things that I hadn't really had my hands on earlier. And as I kind of followed my own development and interests and so forth, and continue to do so, I found that there were always variations that I found connections with other mythologies. And so I just wove it all together and continue to braid those things together in my work.
How did you find your way to ceramics? You could have chosen many different arts. Your family, you had all kinds of influences. You might have chosen the literary arts or something else. What was it about ceramics? And you're a printmaker at one point. You're a teacher still, yes?
Well, I teach a class at KIA in the fall. I teach a ceramic sculpture class, which I love. It really feeds me tremendously, and I'm very, very happy to be engaged in the Kalamazoo Institute of Arts. It's a fabulous place.
Is that where you discovered ceramics yourself?
Well, that's actually where I've discovered all the arts. My mother was a potter. That was what she chose to do, and we actually have a longer history than that, because my great-grandfather in Latvia was a brick maker, and he made these beautiful little ceramic stoves that you see sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
And
I've always wondered why we don't have those stoves here. They seem very efficient.
And they're beautiful.
They are. They're actually a work of art. Pūdiņkrāsns.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And yeah, when I've spent time in Latvia, they're often with ceramic tiles. And so your great-grandfather made these?
Yes. And and so there were, and I think my mother, so the, you know, the creative force DNA is in all of my family. You know, kind of
we grow up respecting the arts. It's not frivolous.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so my mother was a potter, and she worked at KIA. And then I, as well as my other siblings, tagged along with her and eventually took classes. And I took life drawing there as a 15-year-old and then went on to engage in printmaking there. And then I took that on quite seriously, etching specifically. Mm. But as I was working and teaching, I had less time to devote to the specifics of getting into the print room, creating all of these things. And so I ended up working with ceramics. And those experiences were pretty enlivening to me. And I really liked the fact that I wasn't interested in throwing pots. It was too messy.
Okay.
but working with clay and having that kinesthetic engagement, the at the end of the time, I make rattles, I make bells, I make large very large sculptures, I make medium-sized sculptures, but there's always that kinesthetic element, and also there's 360 drawings. As you turn and look at the piece, you see a multitude of views of a given topic or subject.
I think a lot of your work goes into a garden very well. So it almost seems that it reflects its environment and adds to it at the same time. It seems very natural. Is nature a part of how you approach your art?
Absolutely. I feel like that's an essential ingredient in my work, and I think that when you, well, obviously the clay coming up out of the earth,
very primal, isn't it?
It is very primal. But then, you know, as you sit with that piece of clay and work with it and kind of see what needs to be done to kind of take it to its finishing point. Then to return it to the garden is very, very satisfying. And particularly with plant life. You know, I think right now I'm involved in a project called photosynthesis.
Yeah, I want you to talk more about that too. So go ahead.
So what happens with that particular project is about looking at the vegetal world without the absolute sense of placing it or utilizing it.
Mm-hmm.
Placing it, either landscaping, farming, whatever it is that we do with plants, but to engage with them by looking at them in a fresh and contemplative way. It's something very difficult to do. I mean, my husband and I are both gardeners. My husband does all the vegetable gardening, and I do the perennial gardens and the shrubbery and so forth. And it shifts and changes all the time.
Yeah.
And I have recently set up a little area where I have a little bench where I have a couple of three sculptures there, and they're tucked away into what I call bunny woods. And I go and sit there, and there are things daily, weekly, things that have changed. The other day I came in there, and a blue jay had dropped its feather at the base of one of the sculptures I call Woman on a Mountain. So even the birds will come in and change things. But which new plants come in? And you know, I have mosses. I'm trying to encourage mosses to grow.
Oh, I love moss. Yeah.
But also to not just to engage in making it, but then to see what happens, to watch. And I think that is kind of the photosynthesis project has really given me a lot of impetus to look more at the vegetal garden or the vegetal beings of the world, the trees. And we're doing quite a bit of reading and sharing and cross-pollination.
So when you say we, this is a collaborative exhibit, right?
Yes.
Of many artists.
Yes.
Where's the when, where is this exhibit?
Well, Linda Joska, she is at the helm of the project. And she has been organizing the wheres and the whens. The first exhibit that we're going to have, we're looking at having a variety of venues where we'll be sharing.
So it's more than one place.
Yeah, but in November, for the Art Hop, we'll be at the KVCC place.
Is it a media center?
Yeah, the media center.
Okay.
The media center in downtown Kalamazoo. So that'll be our first official exhibit. But I think the notion is that we'll continue to show in different places, look for other venues.
Almost like a little traveling exhibit type of a thing. Okay. Any idea how many artists are involved?
Gosh, I think close to 15 or 20, I think.
Quite a few.
Yeah, quite a few. And it's a
different
lively
mediums.
Exchange. Yeah, I believe I'm the only sculptor. There are photographers, printmakers. There are some poets involved, actually, too, just recently.
Also literary arts as well. Oh, fascinating. You also do an annual open house in your studio, I believe?
Yes.
Where is your studio? How do people know when this happens? And paint us a picture of this studio.
Well, the studio it's called True North, and it's on Patterson and Porter. And Boatyard Brewery is in the same building there. So a lot of people are familiar with Boatyard Brewery. And so it's in that building.
Okay.
And my studio is upstairs. And I have two kilns. I have a large kiln where I fire my larger pieces. And then I have a smaller kiln where I can do a quicker run through when I'm experimenting with different glazes and so forth.
So you kind of collect artwork over the year, and then you open up your doors at one point?
That's kind of the story, yeah. And I have half of my studio is an exhibit area. so that that area I have set up where I, when I finish work, I can put it up and exhibit my pieces, and then the other half of the studio, resourceful as I am as a Latvian, I use as the workspace.
Okay.
And so people come up and if they are looking for something, need to purchase a wonderful little piece.
Or a unique gift. Yeah,
or a unique gift. Yeah. Yeah. If they would like to do that, they can contact me and they can always come up.
Do you have a website?
I am on Instagram and my email is also available. But yeah, my website is under construction. In that arena, in the technological arena, I am not very resourceful.
You need a computer artist.
Yeah,
on that
and
one.
I want to make my sculptures. I don't want to sit in front of the computer any more than I need to.
Yeah, yeah. Do you still do printmaking, or you're?
I do some. I do some, but the clay just draws me, and you know I have an idea. Oh, you know, I think maybe I could really work on this print. And I get into my studio, and my eyes go over to the table, and then there's this big wrapped piece, and I think, oh, I wonder what that is. So I go over there, and I'm on it. I can't help it.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's, for now, that's what I'm engaged with, and yeah.
I'm curious, too, if you can talk more about the feminine in your work. And you'll have to push me, and don't, to define what that is. It's just a sense that I get from your work when I look at it. How do you see it? How do you put it into your work? What is it to you?
Well, I'm glad you said don't push me, because I think that it is a difficult thing to define.
It is.
And when you take the feminine and the masculine and put them on a continuum, I think that we generally inhabit that middle ground somewhere.
Yeah.
But when I'm at rest or at rest to do my work, I do find myself inhabiting what I look at as the power of the feminine. And the power of the feminine I look at as being, looking at self as being, looking at the love of beauty for beauty's sake, not for any other reason, and to be drawn to beauty, and having a tender regard for both the wildness, the darkness, and the ferocity of the world.
Yeah.
That's where I'm drawn.
Yeah.
When I'm working.
When I look at some of your female figures, I feel that there's a real strength in them, and yet not in an obtrusive way. They're gentle and loving, these figures, and yet very strong. That's as close as I'm going to get to defining it.
Well, thank you. I like that.
So you've had art move through the generations to you. Is it traveling to the next generation too?
My daughter is a writer. My daughter is a writer, and she is very much engaged in the creative.
So the creative story continues in the family.
The creative story continues. And my granddaughter, my daughter's daughter, Matilda, Beatrice is my daughter and Matilda is my granddaughter. And Matilda she claims to be an artist. She's 3 years old, and she can't stop drawing. So far, it continues.
Do you do art with her? Play-Doh, at least?
Oh, we draw.
Yeah.
Oh, we sit down and we have reams of paper. I've created notebooks for her that we return to. I ask her what she wants me to draw, and then she'll color it in and so forth.
That's how it happens.
Yeah.